this is weird. And I said, you know, what's up with the earthquakes? And he put it to me this way. You know, there's fault lines moving, right? Softly and quietly, right? and he told me there's lines of fault in the area that need to shake. So intercessors and prophets, be alert. I said, well, what do you mean, lines of fault? Just making sure I understood. He said there's lines of faults of arrogance, pride, complacency, self-sufficiency, mammon, and greed. Arrogance, pride, complacency, self-sufficiency, mammon, and greed. So we who are from this area need to handle those things.
Yeah, so it was it was something else, but I don't know. I don't really have a completely understanding of what's going on, but I do know that last night yesterday, Lord directed me to Revelation 12, and then I started to hone in on the earthquake parts, and then this happened today. So there's some type of a thing that there's some kind of communication going on it's one of those Daniel things. You know, when Daniel, he really wanted to understand, and I don't know where you all are at, but that's just where I'm kind of at. I really want to understand what it is that the Holy Spirit is saying today, so that, you know, we really have a clear word and a clear direction. But you ready, Brother Lewis? So Brother Lewis is going to lead off tonight, and then I'm going to follow, and then we'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Man, the angels are right here in the front tonight, so don't be intimidated. Come up, Sharon.
You know, when he was talking about how the worshipers go first in the battle, and I was kind of like, why is that, Lord? Because I'm a worshiper, if you didn't know. And but it's because the Lord said, because the angels come, because they love worship. And the angels come, and we don't worship angels, but I've felt protective angels over ministries. I've felt giant angels. The angels do come and fight, and they fight. Demons are fallen angels, and God's angels come, and they fight the battle when we worship.
I call her angel all the time. Amen. He does. And I'm glad he hates it. Amen. Did you do Isaiah 50 yet, Todd? All right. Let me take care of that. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Lord God has opened my mouth and my ears, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the ability, God, to understand your word by your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, for a fresh revelation for everyone's here tonight, God, some impartation. Thank you, God, for the word of the Lord, both written and orally, God. Thank you, God, for prophetic utterances in this place, God. Thank you for signs and wonders and healing in this place. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen, amen. Everybody hear me all right? All right. Well, you know, there are certain things that the Lord's put in my heart. And today particularly, for whatever reason, Mark chapter 16 is just on my spirit. And I really didn't know why I got into it and everything else. So if you turn to Mark chapter 16, we're going to go to verse 17, a very familiar verse for all of us. And also, too, this week, actually the last 2 weeks, I've had this one word that's come to my spirit again and again and again. And actually, what I wake up in the morning singing it, or in the middle of the night catching myself singing a song with this word continually. And we'll share on this tonight, too, because I think it's significant. and what the Lord's telling me to speak on. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So, you know, I look at this and I say, all right, do I believe? Let's see here. I cast out demons. Amen. Yep. Check. I've done that. You know, how many of you were here when Sister Hannah Hunter was here? Okay. Todd, you were here too, by the way. I thought I had a good understanding of demonology and how the enemy oppresses and so forth. But this woman was at another level. She's a missionary in Africa. And I marveled at the things that she said. And I thought, well, Lord, I thought I knew something. But anyway, I do have qualified in this area, but I know I've got more to learn. They will speak with new tongues. Check. I speak with new tongues. Amen. Now, this scripture here is always kind of made me wonder why it was put in here, where it says, they will take up serpents and they will drink anything. If they drink anything daily, it will by no means to hurt them. You know, and I have an uncle who is an evangelist, and he's from the mountains of Tennessee. And he has been invited to churches where people with the, you know, the what the common term is called snake handlers. And he has told me, he said, look, brother, he said, these people are some of the most holiest people you'll ever meet. They eat, sleep, and drink the Word of God. They don't have any kind of entertainment or anything in their lives. They are just sold out. He said, for some reason, they have fixated on that scripture to provide some kind of proof of their faith and their belief in God. And it's become a culture for them, and it's kind of like a generational thing. But it's always intrigued me. And, you know, I think the only experience I had where it was snakes is when I was dating my wife. I was at her parents' home, and there was this huge black snake. And we were out there trying to get it, and all of a sudden the thing started to go into the house, you know, went into a crevice of the house. And my wife's mom said, grab it, Lewis. Like a dummy, I reached out and I grabbed that sucker. That's the biggest black snake I've ever seen. I grabbed him with both hands, and I started jerking on him, trying to pull him. And the darn thing, he secreted some kind of excrement in my hands. The most nastiest, putrefied stuff you'd ever want to smell. I immediately let that snake go, and I immediately went and washed my hands. It was the worst smelling thing. And I had another real experience. I was with Milburn and Jamie, Lynn and I, at their mountain house. And I went out to the grill. I can't think, remember, it was Milburn and me to discover. We're going to grill out and open the thing, and there was a snake down in there. And so, you know, I was looking around for something. Milburn was looking around for something. We're sitting there, and Jamie was at the door going, just like that. All of a sudden, out of the blue, come Linda running down the stairs with some kind of poker in her hand. And she ran toward that grill. She lifted it up. She started jabbing it and beating that snake. She killed that snake. And my eyes got that big around. And so, you know, I think the scripture here, just to people kind of wonder as well as I do, you know, if you are out in the wilderness, this scripture is real important. Or if you're trying to clear some land, this scripture is real important. And by the way, I encourage you, if you do try to clear land, to call Linda. She will take care of those snakes. That's the darnest thing I've ever seen, by the way. I think Melvin and Jane were like, oh my gosh, Lane James says, Linda. Anyway, moving right along. But this part here says, they will also lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And bless the Lord on my soul, I want to see people recover. For whatever reason, this day and time in my life, I want to see people recover their health. Now, 3 weeks ago, I shared up here on James chapter 5, where it talks about, if any of you sick among you, then call the elders of the church, you know, and on that scripture. And I got into a few things, And by the way, that scripture, I mean, that whole message was didn't get recorded. There was a little plug-in back there, wasn't plugged in properly. So, but I had a gentleman come up to me, a young man, afterwards, and he says, you know, he says, I need to talk to you. He says, you're not anti-medicine, are you? I said, well, no, I'm not anti-medicine. And he said, well, good, because, you know, I want to make sure, because of what you were saying and everything else. But let me tell you something, saints. I'm going to tell you some real facts. Things that I have learned, things that I have found out. 62% of adults in America have a chronic illness. 62%. 50% of all children in America have a chronic illness. So our medical system has its place, but it doesn't have all the solutions. And when I hear that, and people, listen, you got a chronic illness, you got some pain and suffering, and you're probably on a few prescription drugs, you know, for the pain and whatever your symptoms are, whatever syndrome or disease they've labeled you as having. And there are more people walking around who are like that and in that condition, and they've learned to live with it. And God forbid that any of us would learn to live with some kind of, you know, malady that is deteriorating our quality of life or hindering us in some ways. And so, as I was reading this, in my heart said, God, please, I want to be used to lay hands on people and have them recover their health. And some of the other stats that I've read, it just breaks my heart. I want to see people set free of these chronic illnesses and so forth, saints. And listen to me. There are people out there, they've been labeled by physicians as incurable. They're on some kind of a maintenance drug, but ultimately it's going to end their life in the very, very near future. And they may check out in some way that they don't really want to check out in. So I want to see them kind of people healed. And I don't want to become complacent to the point where I just accept this as the norm. It's not the norm for me. Now, years ago, probably one of the first churches I pastored, I have to say that healing was not the focus of my ministry. I let other people who felt like they had an anointing to do it, I let them do it. I was asked people to pray from time to time, which I did. And I just never, you know, I thought, well, I don't have the gift of healing. You know, so it's really not my charge to do those kind of things. But through the years, God has shown me quite the opposite of that. And it's part of what Jesus has come to do, to heal us and to set us free. Now, 3 weeks ago, I shared with you about how people would come to me, or they'd come up here or wherever, and I'd pray for them. And I started having visions of them. I started having visions of their home and where they're at. And God could start showing me things. And then somehow God would put something inside of me that would get a hold of me. And it's this word that I want to share with you today that is, I believe, is vitally important that we all partake of this word and exercise in it and watch what God happens. Amen. I do not want to become desensitized to the things that God is saying and doing. You know, how many through the years, you've been around a good while, right? I know I have. I've been around a good while. I got saved in 1978. But the Lord has never left me or forsaken me. And in spite of myself, at times I was my own worst enemy. I even say amen to that. The Lord never has ever given up on me. And his desire was to lead me into the fullness of what he has for my life and what he wants me to do. I want to be a vessel for the Most High God. I want to be able that God's power can flow through me. I am not the source of the power. I am not the source of the healing. But the Lord is looking for vessels that he can flow his power through to reach the people. That's the way he's chosen to do it. So I'm praying that the Lord will send me to someone who needs healing. And I'm praying that God will send in people here to this place who need healing. And, you know, I was sharing this with Todd. I had a vision of Chapin. I'm not originally from Chapin, but I've been here for a few years now. I had a vision of Chapin. And I felt a stirring in my spirit that God was wanting this place, yes, to be all the things that we have been experiencing, there's a theme that's been going on in our meetings and in these gathering meetings, and it's how to hear the voice of God. And the theme of the prophetic anointing, where people are able to hear the word of the Lord pure in purity and in cleanness and power and authority. Amen. And there's an impartation going on. People's gifts are being stirred up, which is our hope is for people, you know, to find out who they are in Christ, find their place in Christ, find out what their gifting is, and get that gifting going in Jesus' name. Amen. But there's something that has gotten a hold of me that I believe is from the Lord, because it's just in my spirit. I could just see Chapin. I could see in the heavenlies what God is saying and doing. Is He wants this place, I believe, to be a healing center. I'm believing for the anointing of God to increase in this place and to get a hold of all of us, that we have a burning desire to see people healed and set free from all these chronic diseases and things that they're going through. People who have been labeled incurable, people who have been given, you know, terrible prognosis and so forth. I want to see God come into this place and by the laying on of hands and His power flow through us and people be delivered and set free.
Amen.
Now, let me get to this word that God gave me. Woke up singing it. I think about it at night before I go to bed. More times during the day than I can even begin to tell you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to go to verse 35. Then Jesus went about to the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, and they were like sheep that had no shepherd. And this word that has been going on in my spirit is compassion. There's so many scriptures where Jesus said that the Bible says He had compassion for those. And the word compassion, let me kind of give you an understanding of what it is. The word compassion, it goes like this. You have a deep burden, sorrow for someone, a deep empathy for them. You know, people talk about, well, you have sympathy. Well, you can have sympathize for somebody. Well, I feel sorry for them and so forth. You know, that's sympathy. You can have empathy where you can empathize for someone. You can feel their hurt and their pain. And so you're right there with them and you hold, you know, you cry with them, whatever. You have that empathy. But compassion is one step further. Compassion is where you feel their hurts and their pains in the deep in the recesses of your being, and you have this tremendous desire to do something about it and to bring them relief. That's what compassion is. Where it goes one step further, you know, I don't want to get to the point where I hear about somebody's going through this, oh, poor people, poor person, everything else. I want to have the compassion of Jesus operating in my life where I feel their pain and feel their hurts and feel their wounds, and I want to do something about it as best I can. And the best thing I can do for them is pray for them. Amen. You know, the greatest thing you can do for anybody is to pray for them. Intercede for them, whatever they're going through. It's, you know, when you're going through something, it's hard to pray for yourself. Are you with me? It really is. When you're in the midst of it, it's hard to pray for yourself. One thing I shared about healing is that, you know, there's a healing that goes out and there's healing that comes in. There are two different things. Ministering healing, receiving healing for yourself. And so you can be at a weakened point and you're just going to have other people pray for you and minister to you for your healing. That's how the body of Christ works. Amen? So I want to have compassion. And the Lord, only God could do what He's done in my life to make me get rid of all my hardness and all my hard places and to put in me a heart of compassion to where I see people here and I go home and I pray for them. And I say, Lord, don't let me go unless I pray for them, God. And I'll pray with them and I'll pray for their healing. I will speak their healing in the name of Jesus. Now, before I get there, I said this 3 weeks ago, but I want to say this again. Whenever you pray for someone for healing, you may not see immediate recovery. But I have an absolute faith that when I speak healing over someone, the words that I'm speaking are the words I heard my Heavenly Father say, and that the Lord starts beginning the healing process in their life, or deliverance, whatever it is they need, or whatever it is I pray, that I have given utterance in the atmosphere to God's will, according to His word, by the power in the name of Jesus, and I believe that my words will not fall to the ground. I believe my words will work inside of them as they go about. We'll follow them, we'll work over them, and work inside of them. You must believe the same thing, because that's how it works. So I got to the place where I'm not afraid to pray for anybody more. I'm not looking, judging by my eyes or my ears or what I see. I'm just praying for them, and I know, I smile, said, hallelujah, they're going to be all right. Now sometimes immediately things happen, and I rejoice over that. But the whole idea of Mark chapter 16 is the seat is God puts them on a course to recover. And I have a confidence in my heart that they are going to recover the things that have been stolen, robbed from them, their health or whatever it is. And the enemies, I bind that demon power in the name of Jesus over their life. I break every curse over them in the name of Jesus. And you know, there's something about praying to where, I don't know if you've ever done this, you know, there's the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of adoration and prayer of supplication. But I do all of those, but I intercede because I want to be a vessel for the Lord. Amen? How many are with me on that? Another scripture. Let's see, where that good, wonderful scripture at? Matthew chapter 9. Oh, we're already there. Oh, let me finish this up. Let me read verse 36 again. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to know, my brother David is here today. This man is the best example of a shepherd I have ever seen. He's not so much, he preaches all over the place, but he's not, you know, it's not every Sunday he's up preaching. But this man is in the trenches with people. I've never seen anybody as long-suffering, as compassionate as my brother David. He will get a hold of somebody, and he will sacrifice whatever he can to minister to that person to help them recover what they have lost. And, you know, generally speaking, your family members are your worst critics. I mean, you know that. You know, Jesus, what did it say? He couldn't do any works upon the people that he knew him because of their unbelief. So generally, you know, your family, it can be one of the strongholds you got to overcome. Well, my brother David's been an example to me, and I've given this word of the Lord, and I'll repeat this word of the Lord to you, bro. You are a general in the field of God. God has not called you to be a general at headquarters. You're not one of those kind of people. You are in the trenches. You have been faithful in the trenches. You've gotten out in the muck and the mire, and you've stood with people and behind the scenes and in the places where they couldn't get anywhere else. And you've hung on to them and prayed for them, and you would not let them go. That is a sign of a true shepherd. So you're a general, my friend, my brother, a general amongst the people, a field commander. That is your place, and you have performed it beautifully, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you're buying dinner tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you another scripture here. Let's look at Matthew. Oh, where's that scripture at, Lord? Well, let me tell it to you, okay? I think it's in Matthew. Jesus was going along the roadside, And there was these two blind beggars. And they started screaming at the top of their lungs, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord." And the people tried to hush them around them and be quiet. And they screamed out all the more, "Have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, O Lord." And Jesus stopped and he looked at them. And he said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "We want to see." But this Bible says he moved with compassion. And the Greek word, deep in his inner being. And he stretched forth his hand. And they received their sight. I mean, you know about the story of the leper who came to Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The Bible says Jesus moved with compassion again. He said, "I am willing, be thou clean." Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you to ask the Lord that you can be a compassionate person. You know, and I had to give myself a checkup on the neck up and get rid of anything that's hindering the Lord, especially my hard places. I had something I want to share with you before I quit that happened to me to give you an idea as I started entering into the season of what God's given me. I guess it's been about 3 years ago. Remember when Melbourne's sister got cancer. Has it been 3 years? Right around then. Her name's Julia. Bless God, she ain't dead. She's with the Lord. Hallelujah. This woman was on fire for God. And I knew her because I've known Melbourne for 40 years and Jamie. So I've known her for a long time. And she developed this tumor in her brain. And then I heard them talking about her prognosis and so forth, and some doctor she went to and said, "Well, you need to go have some kind of scan because this tumor did not originate in your brain. It originated in some part of your body." And I started praying for her. And I was praying for her healing. And I had a lot of stuff going on in my life at that time that was just distracting, but I prayed at night. I said, "God, show me what is the key for this woman. Show me, Lord." And then between sleep, you know, that halfway stage and wake, I had a vision. And I'm laying there, and I could see the outline of Julia, her whole body. I could see her outline. And I could hear myself talking. And I started scanning, looking through her body for cancer. I could feel my spirit scanning. I could find nothing. I said, "All right, well, it's not there. That's not the origin of it." So then I looked, but I knew it was there in her mind. And I woke up. And saints, I want you to know, I prayed for my sister, for her healing. And she did pass away. And somehow I felt like I missed it. There's something that God was trying to give me. God was trying to flow through me as a vessel under the Lord. And I wanted her to be healed, but praise God, I know where she's at and so forth. Amen. I'll never give up, though. I'll never quit. I want to be a compassionate person. When people come here, this is going to be part of what we're going to do, is a healing center. And I believe God is raising up compassionate people. You're compassionate, you may not even realize it. And we're going to lay hands on the sick. And we're going to speak the oracles of God over their life. And we're going to believe for them to be healed and restored, and they recover what has been lost to them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me make sure I got everybody here that needs to be gotten. Penny, I've given you a framework of what the Lord has spoken to me for your life. And something wonderful God is doing. The hand of the Lord is very directly on you, going to and is giving you specific instructions on the days that are ahead. As I told you, I had a vision of you. I saw you carried away in the spirit. I saw you praying, and suddenly you were caught up in the third heaven, and you could hear sights and sounds and wonders. And you could hear the Lord speaking to you. and you could see people around you. You could see their needs, and you could hear their solutions. And I believe this is upon you now. You are a part of the latter house now, of the former house, and now you are part of the latter house, as the word is that I've already kind of given you the framework for. Amen. You'll bring the good stuff from the former house into a new beginning in the latter house. The word or the phrase new beginning is significant for you because God is doing something brand new in your life. It will astonish you. It will excite you. You're going to be a cheerleader for God, not that you ain't already. Amen. So get ready for it. I believe with all my heart this is the word of the Lord for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.
Sir. Praise the Lord. Everybody just stand up for a second. Stretch your, raise your hands unto God as high as you can get them. And then turn around, sit back down. Just got to get stretched out here. That's Coach Sherritt talking to you. Praise God. Amen. Sure.
Thank you. Lewis, I want to encourage you. Patty and I were with a brother from India 2 weeks ago at International Family Church. And we were praying. And we were actually praying and discussing what appears to be unanswered prayer, particularly in areas of healing. And we were just chatting. We were actually praying for this brother. He was fixing to go back to India. And as we were praying, he began to share. And as he was talking about healing and the miracles that they've seen in India, out of his mouth comes the word compassion. It's the reason I want to encourage you. It's 2 weeks ago. I got in the car with Patty, and I said, you know what? And actually, I thanked the brother before he left. I said, we are praying intently for people to be healed. We want to see, just as you were saying, Patty and I are in a position, we're in a transition. That's part of where God's leading us, is the whole area of healing. And the word came out of that brother's mouth about Jesus had compassion. And I looked at Patty and I said, I suddenly think I know what's been wrong with my praying. I've been laying hands on folks, praying for them to be healed. There was that sense, as you articulated, the compassion of the Lord. I looked at Patty and I said, I've got to actually admit, I don't think I've been praying with compassion. I just want to see something happen. I want to see my prayer answered. And I thought, Ralph, you're missing that. And so I just wanted to encourage you, brother. This is a word. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I believe that as we examine ourselves with that word and what God has been speaking of, I think that's an area where most believers may not be walking truly with compassion. We want to see God move. But I've been praying for people, and I had to admit to Patty and some others that I haven't had the compassion of the Lord. So thank you. I just want to encourage you, a word in season, a word for all of us. We've got to cultivate that compassion for those that we're praying for. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise God. So we're, let's say, a word of preparation. You need to be sensitive to, because you're everybody in here, you're all your streams. As you leave this place, you're in a stream of healing, and so be aware that there be situations you're going to come up against that require, you know, to pray for people. And the word compassion, you know, as Jesus was moved by it, is something to just need to be aware of in your spirit. And we've seen at least three cancers healed here that I'm aware of. Another lady came in with a rash that just wouldn't go away, and it was just a word, a prophetic word that went away and hadn't come back. And there's been other things that have occurred. So we've seen the Holy Spirit move here like that. But I really do believe that this specifically this night is because every night's different. was as we gather together, his imparting things to you. And just be aware of it. You know, just bringing that to your attention, because when you do come across people that need to be healed and you just ran a meeting where the Holy Spirit was directing you and telling you and preparing you for that, to get ready to get those hands out and start laying hands on the sick. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a journey of Apostle Paul and how he ended up in his destination. And every one of you has a destination. And it's something that you probably, many of you in here have received prophetic words about your destination, of the places that you will arrive at. And when God gives you a destination, rest assured, he'll get you to that destination. But the Apostle Paul, along the way, I don't know at what point in time he got the word. The scripture points out at one point in time when he received a certain specific word about his destination, and then it got played out, and how he got there was quite an interesting journey. So in Acts chapter 9, we see the commissioning of, or the conversion of Saul. In verse 10, it says, Ananias, and this is Jesus speaking to him, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he is, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands upon him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road but you, which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened." And this is the beginning of Saul's journey, all supernatural, all done through visions, and all is divine intervention of Jesus himself, who is the author and the finisher of Paul's faith, but he's also, it's his church. And it's one thing that's really important. I want you guys to all remember this. It's his church. It's not ours. It's his church, and he is over his church, and he is directing his church in these last days, and he's directing you, and just as he did Paul. But Paul had a destination. You have a destination. You have a calling upon your life. You have somewhere where you're going. Now, everybody is, maybe you're in the process of figuring that out, but God wants to clarify these things in our life. Just like he did with the Apostle Paul, he wants to do that with you as well. So if you're wondering about that and you've been seeking the Lord on that, just know that he has a way of confirming it through prophetic voices and through also him just speaking to you directly. And Paul had all of those. And so just want to encourage you in that. I'll go to Acts chapter 13 in verse 1. "Now they were at Antioch in the church, that there was there prophets and teachers." This is in Antioch. There were prophets and teachers. "Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Mananian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said," and that's what they were doing, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Set me apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they went sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, And they also had John as their helper. And so here we see Paul is now into another place. Now he gets prophetic utterance through prophets who were ministering under the Holy Spirit and fasting. And so there's a process that we all go through. We're laying on hands. And one of the things that has happened, what happened here last week, a young lady was here and she was doing ministry. And at the end, the Holy Spirit separated her and anointed her as a prophetess. It's the first time she'd ever received anything like that. And God is beginning to send her on a journey. And many of you receive different things. And just need, God wants to bring you back to the to your calls. You know, there's something about the point of origin when you got born again, when you were called, when you first encountered the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants you to call those things up. That encounter of Jesus when he first touches you is something, it's the beginning. He's the author of your and the finisher of your faith. And meditating on that sometimes brings those things back. It brings back the zeal of God. Maybe some of you are missing some of that zeal now. He wants to refire you. He wants that zeal of God to wake back up inside of you. And so Paul goes through this process. In Acts chapter 19, verse 21, now, after these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. He purposed in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is starting to communicate to him. He's getting information. The Lord is speaking to you. He's communicating to you. He's always talking to you. Don't think that God just kind of took off and stopped talking to you. He's talking to you all the time. He was communicating to Paul. It's the first time he gets this, I guess. He says in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. It's the first time he gets this information, and it's recorded for us. Now, after these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. He purposed in the Spirit. He didn't say in the heart. He purposed in the Spirit. In the Spirit is where you get your directions. It's in the Spirit. That's why you have to get in the Spirit to get to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The Holy Spirit resides within you. And when you get into the Spirit, whether it's in worship or however you enter into that throne room or into that presence of God, it's in the Spirit, and you turn your spiritual on to get the information of your destination. The reason why our destination is important, because it's direction, it's vision, it's the roadway. And you, when you know you're on that narrow road, it brings some, obviously it brings some comfort and security, but it brings meaning. And these things on that roadway are all these miraculous things that Paul encountered. And there were also tribulations along the way, but he was able to get through all of them because he had a destination, a divine appointment. It says that in the scriptures that we all have the anointing permanently, that we have a divine appointment. We have an appointment before the Lord. And so you need to recognize that and understand that and stir that up within yourself, because it gives you strength and motivation and understanding, and it causes you to seek him because you want to know him more. And by knowing him more, you get those directions and that intimacy in the presence of God, which cannot be duplicated anywhere else. It's only in Jesus that you have that. And you have that way of going anytime you want to go there. Anytime you purpose in your heart to be in his presence, you can be there. He's given you access. But it's a desire you have to have. You have to stoke these desires to follow the Lord up. You have to stimulate yourself in the Lord. That's why David talked about stirring up his soul. My soul, he was speaking to his spirit. Stir yourselves up. Desire it. That desire can start to burn so brightly inside of you, it'll punch you through the little down, the ups and downs that you're going through. Some even enter into some depressed times because the zeal is not there. You're trying to endure. Well, there's nothing wrong with enduring, and that's a place. There's a place for that. But there's a place where the zeal can get so fired up inside of you, it breaks you right through where you're at, and all of a sudden you see, and you're in the presence of Jesus. There's no depression there. You can't find it. You look it around and say, "What? Where's my depression? I lost it." Apostle Paul gets this information about going to Rome. Acts chapter 23. On the next day he left. This is interesting how Paul gets to his destination. It's amazing to me. But you know, you can sit there and be Monday morning quarterback by reading your Bible, and you can see now what Paul actually went through. On verse 8 says, on the next day they left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. He's always coming across these prophetesses. I love the prophetesses. They always speak that just the way they give it. And I just love it when the Lord really uses a prophetess. I like prophets too, but there's something about the way that God uses a prophetess is just spectacular to me. As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. They were convinced that what Agabus was getting was the Lord. And sometimes we hear prophetic words and, you know, oh, well, it's just a prophetic word. But they knew it was the Lord. The Agabus had a track record. And now they know what he's saying. And so that they start to cry, and something hadn't even happened yet, and they're upset about it. I mean, this is amazing to me when you read that and you see how they're reacting. Verse 13, then Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. See, this was all designed. See, the enemy never realizes what he's doing. They think that they're getting, the enemy always thinks he's getting you. But sometimes when you're going through stuff like this, and sometimes when you think like you're captive by a situation, sometimes that situation actually takes you to your destination. Acts 27. Actually, Acts 23, verse 10. Now Paul is before the council at this point, and so they're actually, what the prophet Agabus was prophesying is happening to him right now. And you go up into verse 9, it says, and there occurred a great uproar, and some of the scribes of the Pharisaic party stood up and began to argue heedily, saying, we find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel had spoken to him. And as great dissension was developing, the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them, and ordered that the troops go down and take him away from them by force and bring him to the barracks. But on that night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. So Jesus himself comes and confirms it again. He's going to Rome. And so even though he's being taken by soldiers, Jesus says, you're going to Rome. So he's confirming. Paul gets it early in his spirit. And as he goes along in his journey, now Jesus comes and confirms it to him. So he's going to Rome. Acts 27. Now this is where they take him as a prisoner. And the journey, you know, to go to Rome was actually like over 2,000 miles. So to go by road would have taken a year. They'd go maybe 30 miles a day or whatever. They had roads that went all the way to Rome to where he was, but it was better to sail. But the reason there was a danger in going sailing because it was winter or going into winter, and the Mediterranean apparently at that time, you know, was nasty weather, you know, could cause a shipwreck or something like that. And that's actually what ends up happening, because if you read in in chapter 27, it goes in verse 21, and so they get in this ship and they're going along, and Paul realizes by the Spirit that this journey is going to be perilous, and he warns the captain, says, you know, we're going to end up in a shipwreck. And they basically didn't listen to him. They listened to the guy that was piloting the ship, and so they went ahead and went anyway. Well, they get into a storm. So they get in this terrible storm, and it's so bad. And verse 19 says, and on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. That's everything to steer the boat. So they just throw it overhand. They just give into the storm and let the storm just drive them. The storm is so bad, verse 20 says, since neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, no small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of being saved was gradually abandoned. And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, Men, you have ought to have followed my advice and have not set sail from Crete and incurred this damage or loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. So again, Jesus confirms he's going. He's going to Rome. He gets arrested by soldiers. He's put in this boat, in this ship. He sees by the Spirit that there's going to be a storm. He looks like all hope is going to be gone. And even now, an angel, he gets another message from an angel. For this very night, an angel of God, whom I serve and belong for, say, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe that it will turn out exactly as I have been told, but we must run aground on a certain island. Now, he doesn't get the specifics on the island. He just knows that's where he's going to go. You see how the communication is going here? When you're going to a destination, and you've got a destination in God, and sometimes our destinations may not be completely crystal clear, but nevertheless, we know that we're heading for something. When that becomes so rock solid within you, there is divine communication that comes your way the whole entire way. And every storm that comes against you is simply just another method, it's another vehicle to get you to your destination. If you can see that, if you can perceive that, it's the perception that matters. If our perception, then there's God's perception. So let's read on here. So in verse 41, it says, but striking the reef, there were two seas met. They ran the vessel aground and prow, the front of the boat stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to the land. You can see how desperately the enemy is trying so much to stop Paul to get to Rome. He controls the soldiers. He controls this. And yet, God has the final word. God's word is that over your life will get you to your destination every time. There's nothing that can stop God's word. Verse 44 is, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened, they were all brought safely to the land. Verse 28, when they had been brought safely through, when they found out that the island was called Malta, the natives showed an extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and they received us all. So the natives were happy about the rain. They needed it. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. And this was after Jesus said to pick up serpents. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice have not allowed him to live. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they waited a long time, observing him and seeing nothing unusual happening to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place, there were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed, afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him, and after he prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And after this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting cured. They also honored us with many marks of respect, and when we were setting to sail, they supplied us with all that we needed. There's a big message through this. Paul is going to get to his destination. But the first thing that you need to hear this is that there was divine sovereignty and protection on his journey. You have that as well. Survival of the shipwreck and the viper bite demonstrates that God's plan to have him testify in Rome could not be stopped. God's plan for your life cannot be stopped. God's power over adversity. The viper bite represents the dangers and uncertainties of life. Just as Paul shook off the snake, believers are encouraged to trust in God's power over fear, anxiety, and doubt. You have power over fear, anxiety, and doubt. Ministry in unexpected places. God positioned Paul unknowingly and unexpectedly. He used his time in this place to bless others through healing, including the father of the chief man, Publius. Ministry in unexpected places is what you're sent to. And so though you may be in a storm, you might want to consider where that lands you at, that there may be a lot of ministry that needs to take place where you land. Transition from misfortune to ministry. Paul's experience teaches Christians or ministers to trust God's goodness during shipwrecks or when plans go awry. These moments are for ministry. So God is positioning us. And I know there's some people in here tonight that are in some storms. I can see it in the spirit. And you're in a good place. You know? Enjoy it. You know? I mean, you're not gonna sink. You're gonna arrive. You know? I mean, some of those guys, they couldn't swim, but they came in on the broken pieces of the ship. And you might get into shipwreck, but it does. You're going to survive it, you know, because you have a destination in the Lord. You have a place to go. And I want to encourage you, because some of your ministries are just about to really light up this year. This could be the best year of your ministry. This could be the best year of your life. If you just would allow the Lord to encourage you tonight and to show you that the places of these storms are the places where you're mostly developed. Because it's a place where you surrender. When you can't survive something, you end up surrendering. And to surrender is not just something, it's a surrender all. You know, when we get up there and we get into heaven, you know, we're married to him. People often wonder, say, well, you know, it says in the scriptures that we're not married. And then you might say, well, God, some people might say, well, that's good. I don't know if I'll be married to you in heaven. I know, we're married to God. Amen? And we're married to God. And those relationships we have here are eternal. So I just want to encourage you tonight. You have a destination in the Lord. Amen? God is so good. Praise God. Praise God. Jessica, I want to give you a word of encouragement. You're sitting back there so humble and so sweet back there. Amen. God is so good. Amen. The hand of God is on you in a heavy way. I see the training harness of God on you. And it's like it's tightened up a little bit. And that's a good thing. That means that the love of God is just surrounding you right now. And it's the perspective that he's actually after in your life right now. How you are seeing things. I see observing something, I don't know, a situation, whatever, in the spirit. God showed me specifically, but it's troubled you, and there's a troubling spirit I see inside of you. God's going to bring up peace in it because he's going to allow you to see it the way that he sees it. You know, so many times, in life, I encountered certain individuals, and I thought. I thought because of their behavior, I thought for myself, well, that person is this way. I'll just say this. I worked at Emperor's Children's Home, and there was a lady there that I thought she was the devil. I thought she was the devil. I just did. I didn't like her. And because I didn't like the way she treated the kids, you know. And so it really upset me to a great degree. And so anyway, to make a long story short, she would always send the kids because I was like the principal and I was a facilitator, and they always send the kids to me. And it was frustrating to me because, you know, I knew that she was just trying to get rid of the kids because she didn't want to deal with them. And so I thought to myself, well, I'm going to write a little note and give it to the kid, and he'll take it back to her, and she's going to get mad. I know she's going to make her mad. She's going to come to my office, and I'm going to kick her out of my office because it's going to give me great relief. Or, I don't know if it was relief, but it's going to, okay, I'm sorry. I was redeemed, but I was not, you know, completely there. So, sure enough, she comes across stomping, and I mean, she really just like, you know, she had that look on her face, and she came to my office, and I kicked her out and shut the door, and then the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. She says, "Brilliant, you really showed her my love," and I go, "Well," and I started to talk to him. I said, "But you know how she acts, you know how she does this and this and this," and all of a sudden, the Lord started to show me something about her past that I couldn't see, and he showed me some abuse in her life. And it really devastated me in the sense that he just kind of like took my legs out from under my feet. I said, "You know, Lord, I didn't know." He said, "You never asked." It gave me a different perception of her. That I needed that. Because in order for me to carry on to work with her, I had to see her in a new light. And the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you, and he's changing your perception on how you're viewing the relationships that are around you, because there's a healing ministry that's bubbling up inside of you that God wants to release. I see a deliverance ministry. I see a prophetic anointing that God is placing inside of your life tonight. And that's why that training harness right now seems so tight on you, like you want to scream. But you're gonna surrender on the inside, and that healing balm is gonna come upon your anointing, and it's gonna release. Many people are gonna come in the kingdom of God because of your obedience. You know, you're not a person that does anything halfway. It's either all the way or it's nothing. And because that is you, and that's your nature of what God has designed you to be, you're gonna hit the mark every time. You're an arrow in the hand of the Lord. And you're going through the process of the arrow. And the arrow, it gets dipped in that water. And it's the water of the word. And then it's taken out, and then it's smoothed out. And then there's feathers put on it that gives its direction. And there's the point. And then there's a time when God puts you, and he pulls you out, and he uses an arrow to hit the target. And you're going to hit the target every time, because you are an arrow in the hand of the Lord. There's something about a prayer you've given to God, or you said something to the Lord, and the angels wrote it down, and man, they're going to perform it, and he's going to take it. So you can be encouraged tonight. You're going to leave here as a minister that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire. It is the fire that is refining you, because God's hand is on you in a mighty way. And God says, "I will recover those things. I will straighten those things out. If there is anything in front of you," the Lord says, "I will go before you, for I will fight this battle." This battle is mine. It is not yours. So don't take it back. It's his tonight. And he will win, because you're going to go forth from this place as the warring angels are released from this place, are going in to fight for you. Because God says, "I am behind you, I am for you, and I love you." In Jesus' name I declare that. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother, I don't know what you do, but I see a teacher all over you. I just see a teacher inside of you. And I see the word of God inside of you. It's like a treasure. You treasure the word of the Lord. And I see it, it's like it's things like you're confronting, I don't know if it's your national events or whatever, but it's something that's just got, you're disturbed deeply within your heart. It's a disturbance. It's like a holy discontent is the best way to describe it. And God is going to give you such a strong word, a word of righteousness, a word of rectitude, where you're sent into situations where there's righteousness that needs to take place, where it's almost like you're a judge. It's almost like God has given you that kind of ability and power in the Spirit to where you are seeing things that are wrong that need to be straightened out. And God's going to bring you to your knees. You're going to be an intercessor. And you're going to intercede for these things. And then you're going to send you out. I see it's like you're being bathed in the Spirit. And I see God just really imparting this word inside of you. It's so deep. Things that you've studied over the years, you didn't understand what he was really preparing for. Well, there's going to be clarity. Because there's something, you know you're supposed to accomplish something. You know there's something down there that you haven't quite yet gotten into. And God's going to open that door and give you clarity, and you're going to walk through it. But I see a word streaming forth from you, and it's a teacher's word, where the wisdom of God is just going to hit people and really restore their lives, where they're just heading the wrong way, and boom, the word comes to them, and boom, just straightens them out and puts them like in a straitjacket. They can't resist the fact that the power of God has moved through you and called them to attention. Like a general, it's like a general is inside you. You know, I mean, I look at you and you on the outside, externally, you look like a sweet man, just really a nice guy and all that. But inside of you, there's a raging fire that God is going to be released through you. And it's not going to be done in a negative way. It's going to be a positive way. Some people need to have their strings jerked. Some people need to be saved with fear. And there, for whatever reason, God wants to use you that way, probably because you're humble and you're not like that, but that's just the way God's going to do it. And you're going to be confronting people that are literally the hard nut cases, the ones that just have not listened. They just like hard as their heads are this thick, and God's going to make you like a battering ram, and you can just break them down every time, one after another after another. God is going to illuminate you in this clarity of this mission. I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. I see him right now. I see young men just doing foolish stuff, but all of a sudden they come across your path, and man, a reckoning is going to occur. But it's because you love, and it's because you care, this discontent that's inside of you, where people are just don't understand, and you understand why they're acting the way they are. Well, God is hearing your thoughts. That's all I got to say. He's going to throw you into that fight. And you're going to bring one down after another after another. You're like a David, man, just slaying giants, giant slayer. And just be encouraged, because God equips the person to say, he's going to equip you. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whatever you need at the time, you're going to have it. Because that battle is his. And he's going to use you as a stone. And I just see God slinging you at those giants in Jesus' name. God is so good. Praise Jesus. God is so good. Amen. So you're the giant slayer's wife, I'm assuming, correct? Hallelujah. You didn't know what you had, did you? Oh, you do know what you had. Okay. Well, thank you. It's easier to prophesy when a wife's sitting going like that. You know what I mean? It's a lot easier. Praise God. Amen. That's so good. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. There's, you know, sometimes there's situations in our life where it's just like, they don't go away. You know, it's like I just don't have peace, because it's something that, I don't know if it's over a loved one or someone that's close to you, but I just see the intercession of a mother that is able to bring about peace to somebody's life, you know? And there's a concern, you know, I see within you. And I believe God's going to deal with that. So just be at peace, okay? It's like, it's his battle, you know? Once you pray, you can pray something, and God actually does it. And though you may not see the results of it initially, over a period of time, God melts the hearts. Amen? And one thing that I just see, it's like in the Spirit, when another individual treats another individual badly, you know, it really upsets you, and it really concerns you. And you don't quite have the right words to address the situation, but God's going to give you the right language. And, you know, it's always important to have a preceding word when we enter into relationships that are not going well. And I believe that God's going to give you a real preceding word, a real word of peace. And you're going to just hit, you're going to hit the mark. You're going to be, God's going to use your voice like a surgeon, where he just really goes right to the heart of the matter. And it's because it's done in love, and it's done out of concern. And what you're seeing is actually correct. You're discerning something that's actually correct. So just be good, amen. And take care of that warrior next to you. Amen. Don't. Amen. God is so good. Dan, I want to give you a word of encouragement, brother. I just want to encourage you. I just see the Lord really using you in a very, very specific way. Yeah, he's sending you some evangelists, by the way. These evangelists are not your traditional evangelists. Not they're going to be preaching and, you know, like they're not preaching evangelists. These are people that actually invite people. They actually bring people. And they're not skilled. They're broken. These are broken evangelists because don't have their life together yet. And that's how you're going to identify them. And they're not trying to come off like they got all together. They may lead people to the Lord, but they're better at just inviting and bringing people in. They're like fishermen. And I just see them being going out and just bringing people that are broken. You know, a lot of people, you know, they want to have big churches and stuff like that, but they really want to have a certain selection of people. They don't want to the people that are broken or the people that have issues. They want to have the people that are healed, you know. But that's not what God's going to do there. You're going to have people that are consistently broken that need healing, okay? But they're going to be loyal. And God's going to show you how to use them. Amen? Because you're going to speak into the potential of their lives. God's going to show you specifically what they're called to do. I see you positioning them. It's, you know, it says in the scripture the proper position of each individual part causes growth. If the parts are functioning properly, it causes growth. But we got to know how to position them. In fact, I don't know if you've been asking the Lord that, but God is going to show you exactly how to position. Evangelism is going to be on your heart. You're going to want to know, how do I go out? How do I go out? God's going to send you some raw evangelists that will be willing to go out. I see developing SWAT teams to go outside the walls. That's all they're going to do. That's all you're going to be concerned about. Every idea that God gives you is going to be birthed in the realm of the evangelist. And you're going to see God do the work. You're going to carry out the mission of the church. It's his church. And you're not building it. He is. Amen? So don't put pressure on yourself. I see a pressure that you put on yourself. You're just, you know, because you just want to be successful. There's nothing wrong with that. You've got the right drive, but you don't have to worry about that, because if you lift him up, he'll draw the men unto you. The place that you're at is not going to contain it. You have to understand that. You already realize that. But it's a beginning. And God will give you the ability to be able to handle the numbers, but it's not about what you can contain. It's how much can you get out. When you make it, you're burning desire to get out, you won't be able to keep up with it. And that's a good problem to have. I see an economic relief, that God's opening up a door, an avenue, that's going to come to you with this next year, and it's going to really be an encouragement to you. You've worked hard, but you realize you need some help, and so God says, I'm sending the help. But stick to the plan. Don't deviate, because the enemy was trying to do everything to try to, just like he did with Paul. He had a destination. You got one too. There's an anointing in that place. There's an anointing on your life. And God is sending you evangelists. They're broken people. But look at them as evangelists, and you're going to find out. I see a word. I see him going out. I see him bringing them in. And you're going to say, man, it's like a golden retriever. You know, you got a good dog, and I know those of you that hunt like that, and that dog is going to go out and going to get the duck every time. And these guys are just like that. They're going to be loyal because they're broken and they need love. And they sense that. They found a place finally that they can actually be who they are and be loved. You know, people are going to come into this place. They're going to be still living with their boyfriends. They're going to be transing. They're going to be all kinds of, you understand, how is the church going to handle the sinners? You know, where did Jesus go? You know, right to the sinners. And so that is going to be the earmark. And people may say, well, that's a rowdy bunch. That's good. Amen? Because he's going to be in your midst. It's his church. He's going to bring the broken, the lame, the messed up, and you're going to show him how a Christian should live. Praise God. God is all over that man. Amen. God is all over you, brother. He's all over you. Amen. God is so good. Okay, prophetess, come on up here. You know I'm going to pick on you. I don't really pick on her. Actually, he picks on me. I'm somebody I'm afraid of, and I mean in terms of respect, right? You don't? Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I'll just look. It's kind of a blank night. Probably the young girl in the blue. Can you just, what is your name? Lindsay?
Ansley.
I just see the hand of the Lord on you. I see you're somebody that is pursuing God. I see somebody that God has separated for his service. I see you hearing the voice of the Lord very clearly in days to come, very sharply. I see you seeing things that nobody sees. I see you walking the walk of the Lord. I see sometimes that the enemy is going to try to come and make you stumble, but you're not going to stumble because you know the voice of the Lord and you have the heart to obey him. I see that you've been trained up in a good way, but I also see that you have some training of the Holy Spirit that's going to come alongside you. And you might go through some trials and say, Lord, why am I going through this? But this is the Lord saying, I'm making you who I've called you to be. And he's called you to be an awesome woman of God. I feel like there's a prophetic anointing on your life that you're going to speak the word of the Lord to people and they're going to instantly be delivered. It's not going to be a long time thing where people wait and wait and wait. I see people being delivered very quickly. And I also see the hand of the Lord on you being used to heal people, to bring healing to people. Just by words that you say, laying your hands on them, praying for somebody, but just your belief in God. That's really all I have to say.
Amen. And David, I keep seeing in the spirit, I see a brother that you've come to and you're delivering. It is a word of a correction, okay, but it's also a word of direction and something that is concerned you. And I see you bringing this to this brother, and it's been a real resistance. And it's almost like, you know, and the thing you're doing, the right thing. It's like you deliver it, and then, you know, I delivered it, did what I was supposed to, and you come back again and come back again. It's only with me one more time. If the brother doesn't turn, he's going to turn. He's going to turn, but it's going to not be the way he wants to be turned. And so your patience has been rewarded tonight because the Lord is telling you specifics about the situation. You know exactly what I'm saying. So I just want to encourage you in that, in Jesus' name. Also, I want you to be encouraged because there's a stirring, a zeal. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes we need our batteries charged. You know, like this thing's going to eventually wear out. I keep talking to it. And I have to be charged back up. Tonight, in the spirit, God has hooked you up to a charge. He's charging your spirit tonight. And it's not so much about being this atmosphere. This is something you're going to carry out of here. You're going to recognize and realize that he has charged you up and strengthened you. Even your physical body is going to be different because it's like I see a weariness that gets on you at times where you're just kind of tired. But there's you know, it says that those that wait upon the Lord shall change. They shall renew their strength. That change their strength. You need to hear that. Changing your strength. There's a change in your strength. You know, if I am strong this way, I may not be strong that way. God is strengthening you in a different way. That's why there's everything around you is requiring flexibility because it's like you know yourself. It's like God said, can you bend this way? You know, I don't know. You're making me bend this way though. But there's a flexibility that God is creating around you that he might strengthen another part of your ministry that is not, it's not dormant. dormant. It just needs to be strengthened. You know, in other words, I could get up here and continue to prophesy, but maybe God doesn't want me. Maybe God wants me to now move in a gift of faith. Or now maybe I didn't realize I had those tools in my belt. God's going to make you very much aware of now the tools that you have within your belt, and you're going to start to pull them out because you never thought about that before, but you have more in there than you realize. So now the tool belt has now been distributed. The Holy Spirit chooses these things. I'm not the Holy Spirit. So he's choosing to put some things inside of you that you will recognize and realize. In fact, even in the scriptures, even from recent days, did you not look in the Word? Did not the Word say something to you that spoke you directly to what I am saying to you? Those are the very things that are being imparted to you in the Spirit tonight. For God says, I'm doing a new thing inside of you. It is a new season. It is a new fresh anointing. For times refreshing have come to your door tonight to strengthen you and to prepare you. And you'll go out of this place as a stream that is like a gate. That, you know, when the floodgates begin to open up, the stream comes out. Did not David said the breakthrough anointing was like the breaking forth of waters? Am I not going to break through like the breaking forth of waters? And when you looked in that word, even the other day, you felt the movement of waters that is within you. Your midst, that God says, I'm going to release out of your midst. I'm going to go right into the situations. And God says, I will move around those spiritual donkeys that are in the way, says the Spirit of God. I will move around them because they refuse to move and refuse to listen to me. For a pharmaceutical bread have they eaten, and they shall know I will break their teeth, says the Spirit of God. They will no longer be able to stand in the way, for I will remove these spiritual donkeys from your midst. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise God. Oh, sorry. Come on.
Kyla. Paige was waiting for you to come tonight. More importantly, God was waiting for you to come tonight. God began to speak to me as I saw you worshiping. Since you were a small child, you've had an understanding of the things of God that were beyond natural human comprehension. And you hungered for the presence of God. Jesus said that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And in this context, righteousness was talking about things being done God's way. And you hunger for that. You hunger to see things done the right way. In the biblical context of things being done in decency and order. And you struggle and you rage against things not being done the right way. And the Lord says, I'm the one who put that in you, but I'm going to teach you how to channel it so that you can open your mouth and speak the word of the Lord to those whom injustice is being done, to those who've been vilified when they were innocent, to those who were abused when they were young and their hearts were broken. And the Lord says, I'm bringing you into a new season where you're going to come to understand all these feelings, all these emotions that you've had, because they're tied to your gifts, they're tied to your calling, says the Lord. When my sister was young, she was 12 years old when Star Wars came out, and I told my dad afterward, my girlfriend and I at the time were 18, and we talked about all the things everybody else thought about Star Wars, but my sister didn't. She began to talk about how things were built and designed and all that stuff. And I said to my dad that night, she's going to grow up to be an architect like Ralph, or she's going to be an engineer. And makes you feel old when your kid sister just retired before you did as an engineer, 30 years as an engineer. But that's who you are. You're an engineer of God. You have an understanding and an insight straight from the Holy Spirit that causes you to understand how God has the big picture, how things are woven together, and how people's lives are affected. And when they don't understand, while the bombs are going around off around them in life, and people are screaming, and people are upset, and people are angry, You're going to see through all that. You're going to see with God's eyes, those God's engineer's eyes, an understanding of what the big picture is. And when you speak that into people's life, you're going to speak peace into their life. And their tears are going to stop. Because the Prince of Peace has visited them because you were obedient and you opened your mouth and spoke the word of the Lord to them, says the Lord. One more real quick one. The young man on the other side here. Terry. Terry. You've been in a dark place, brother. But the word of the Lord to you is that I'm calling you out of darkness and into my marvelous light. But you have to respond to that word and consciously walk into the light as God calls you, brother.
Thank you, Don. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in our midst tonight. And we just worship you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to continue to move on our lives, that we continue to understand that you've given us all destination. Father, also that you've called a healing move of your spirit in this arena, this area, in this region. Father, that those who have gathered here tonight, Lord God, will be used in that. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the way that you have come and just reassured us, Lord, that your hand is upon us. We love you, Jesus. We just declare you as Lord over this place, and we just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.